Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Five Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Welcome to another edition of the Five Star Zone. Rico Beard, Harold Shelton, Senior Research Manager from the Big Ten Network. Join us again. We're talking college hoops, especially the local hoops. Harold, not a good weekend this past weekend for the two local teams. And Michigan State more so, because I look at what they did. And if you're MSU, you got to stay off the dreaded 8-9 line, because 8-9 means that you're staring down the face of either UConn, or you're looking at Houston, or I'm trying to think who would be the four. You're not going to play Purdue.
Could be Tennessee, Arizona, maybe.
Yeah, Tennessee, who you've already lost to, or Arizona, yep. Who you've already lost to.
Yep.
You want to stay off the 8-9 line. You're not going to get Purdue, but I don't think you want Purdue. Ironically enough, you're going to play Purdue this weekend. You had an opportunity to separate yourself, and really they were trending towards that 7, maybe even teetering at the 6. But then you lose at home to two teams that, let's face it, probably headed to the NIT. No excuse of why you did it, but you lost to Iowa at home. And then you followed this up with losing to Ohio State on a buzzer beater. Ohio State hadn't won since 2012 on a buzzer beater. It was Draymond Green's senior day. Ohio State was down 50-38 with, I think, about 10 minutes to go into the game. MSU scores 7 points. And I think the biggest question that everybody asks, and then I'm going to give your perspective, but I'm sitting there watching the game, and Xavier Booker starts. Tom Izzo shakes up the lineup, and it works. It's working. Now, I don't know if deep down they kind of, it was like, well, you know what? Everybody keeps asking for this kid, so I'm going to give you what you ask for. Kind of like your parents. I want to stay up late. Okay, well, I'm going to let you stay up late knowing you're going to crash and burn in the morning because you're too tired for school, but you're going to go to school. Booker handled it. Booker came out there, 7 points. He had 3 blocks. Yeah, he made some mistakes, but I think you could live with that. Even when he got announced, the crowd like just got livid, like, oh my God, it's happening. And then in the final 15 minutes of the game, he's up. He doesn't go back in. You stuck with Matty Sissoko for the rest of the game. And I just think that put Michigan State at such a disadvantage. Even the Ohio State coach said that when Booker was in there, we weren't able to get the ball in as deep. We had to make some changes. And then when Matty was in there, he said it without saying it, like, yeah, it actually got easier for us and we found a way to win. Looking back at this game, Harold, what did you see? Because for me, I thought it was a travesty that that Xavier Booker wasn't in that game. He's a freshman, but in order for him to get better, you grow by playing. You don't grow from the bench. And, I mean, the offense flowed freely. And the frustrating thing with Matty was his man, 34 for Ohio State.
Oh, Akpara.
Never had to leave the paint. He never left the semicircle. He planted himself right there and said, you can stand out there at the three-point line all you want, because all you're going to do is pass the ball. With 3.4 seconds to go, late in the shot clock, late in the game, you didn't put Booker in the game. You had Matty in the game. Matty is not going to shoot the ball. Matty did everything he could to try to hand that ball off like a hot potato. Tyson Walker shoots an awkward shot. I think if you have Booker in the game or somebody else who's at least got some offense to them, they go to the basket, they get an and-one, or maybe they hit the layup, or they do get foul shots. It's at a disadvantage, and I hope that this is something that they really try to correct, because right here, right now, you got Purdue coming up, and then you got Boo Booey and Northwestern. I don't think you've beaten Boo Boo in 3 years. And then you get Indiana at home, and Indiana just showed you at home, look, we ain't no punks. We ain't going to roll over and show our belly. So you lose the next three games, and somebody who worked closely with the tournament committee that I talked to said, yeah, they got a high net rating, but, yeah, you lose these next three games, and you may not be in or you may be in Dayton.
Yeah, I could totally see that. When it comes to the net, what's helped them a lot is that they had a lot of blowout wins and a lot of close losses. And so the metrics bake in the margin of victory. So that helps them a ton. So that's why KenPom, they're like 20, I think they're 24 as of Wednesday morning. But if you look at their results-based metrics, they're, 42 in strength of record, 44 in strength of record, 42 in Kevin Pogba's metric, which seems more about right. And then if you lose the next three games, obviously those are going to get worse. So you definitely want to win at least one, if not two of those, to feel good just about making the tournament. And considering that they were number four in the country to start the year, being 17-11 now and hoping to win a home game just to make the tournament just kind of shows how this season is going. But when it comes
I gotta think that it's gotta be the Northwestern game, because that's the one that's a quad one victory. If you beat Indiana, does that really mean anything except for you stop the bleeding?
Yeah, I guess it gives you a quad two. I mean, it's really not, it more hurts you than helps you, that's for sure. I think it's more of just trying to avoid having another loss. Like, you don't want to be 17-14 going into the Big Ten tournament. And then you get a bad matchup, you lose that, you're 17-15, and then you're just hoping that there aren't upsets elsewhere in conference tournaments and stuff like that to knock you out. So they need to win probably the Northwestern game. I agree with you on that.
So I'm sorry, I cut you off. What else were you about to say about it?
No, that's cool. No, for the Ohio State game, I mean, you're absolutely right. The Booker stuff, the fact that he started, you could tell that there was a buzz. Even when he shot his first three and he missed it, crowd rose. Then he makes it.
Right.
Everybody's going crazy. He gets the alley-oop dunk and one. Like, you could tell, like, the teammates are involved. Everybody's into it. And he was plus 11 in the game. Like, he clearly made an impact. Yes, he made some mistakes in terms of not boxing out. Or maybe he got lost on, a ball screen. He shouldn't have done what he was he did something he wasn't supposed to do on ball screen defense, fine. But he's a freshman who's barely played. I'd rather let him play through those mistakes. We've seen what you've had from 3 years of Matty Sissoko.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, he kind of is who he is at this point. And all of the numbers bear it out. And I think that's what makes it so frustrating. Now, as we said, he was plus 11. It was 40-30 when he was subbed out at the 15-10 mark. And they never put him back in. And they scored 17 points the rest of the way.
Right.
And in the game, Sissoko was minus 6. Cooper was minus 5. Kola was minus 1. So clearly your other three bigs weren't getting it done. And from the 7:43 mark to the 6-second mark, when they took Maddie out for Trey Holloman to try to defend that last second three, they played their usual starting lineup and got outscored by 6. And that's been a problem all year. There have only been 14 Big Ten lineups that have played at least 100 minutes in conference play, and only 3 have a negative point differential. Any guesses on the 3 starting fives?
Oh, wow. Let me go with – I'm going to go with Indiana.
Nope, they're positive.
I'm going to guess MSU.
Yep, that's one. They're minus 19.
Wow. Is it Ohio State?
Yep, they're minus 30.
Michigan?
Yep, they're minus 20. Those are your 3 in conference play.
Wait, now say that again for the people in the back.
All right. So there have been 14 Big Ten lineups that have played at least 100 minutes together in conference play, and only 3 have a negative point differential. And that's Ohio State starting 5, Michigan starting 5, and Michigan State starting 5. So that's Tyson Walker, A.J. Hogarth, Jaden Akins, Malik Hall, Matty Sissoko.
Wow. And yet you still keep putting them out there.
Still keep putting them out there.
Wow. Okay, you know, you blew my mind. I'm sure you just blew all the listeners' mind with that because, yeah, for those who don't know, you're looking at Ohio State and Michigan at the bottom of the Big Ten, and this is probably why Michigan State, has so many slow starts to start the year off. Think about how many times they had to come back to win things, and yet in this game, they did change. They put Booker out there. I'll say this, and Harold, you're the numbers guy, but From a layman's point of view, when you put Maddie out there, it hinders the game of A.J. Hogarth. The reason being is A.J.'s game is driving to the basket. Now, Tyson can hit threes and Tyson can do the circus shots, but A.J. is, I'm going to blow past my guy and I'm going in for the layup. But when Maddie is in the game, not only is he down low, but his man is down low. And now you have, it's clogging up. It's congestion. You can't get that easy shot. Now, AJ, when Maddie's in the game, has to rely on jump shooting, and that's not his forte. When he's most dangerous, when you think about it, he's driving to that basket. He's getting that easy layup, that transition basket. And when Maddie's in the game, that's just not happening. You saw that in that final 7 minutes where, I mean, AJ made one layup. Tyson made a circus layup. And that was really the only points they got non-free throw line of the 7 points. They Malik can't post up and do anything. So I look at it, and from what I gather, Coach Wojcik is the guy that does the substitution patterns for the big man. And this may be something that Tom has to just take over from him and say, hey, kind of like in football where – If I'm the OC and you're the head coach, but you all of a sudden say, you know what? Yeah, we got to run this trick play. You trump what I'm about to do. You overrule me. Tom has to come up with a better combination because here's how I see this. The unfortunate part of all of this is they actually have the formula to go far in the NCAA tournament. You got 3 guards who could score. Plus, now that Malik has stepped his game up, you got somebody who could post up down low, and that's normally the formula. That's why I don't think like Purdue, you got Zach Edey. He's a unicorn. But there's a reason why the big man doesn't win national titles. You look at all the former champions, and they got this loaded backcourt, MSU has that. Now, as I said, you got to get off that 8-9 because you're looking at a team that you're probably either you've lost to Tennessee, you've already lost to Arizona, or you're going to be looking at UConn, the defending national champion. It boils down to this Saturday night, which it's a primetime game. I don't see how this is going to help you, but you go to Mackey. You don't win in Mackey. And for people who are like, oh, well, put it this way. Everybody told me the 2000 team got robbed with Cassius Winston because they were going to win the national title. You remember that? They were going to win the national title. You know this, but pretend like you don't. When that team went into Mackey, they lost 71-42. I remember because I had just got off a plane and I was about to run home to watch the game, walk past the airport bar, looked up at the screen and was like, I could take my time. If I was playing you in a video game, I would just call that a reset button game. And we just going to say you won and I'm gonna hit the button and we're going to start all over for again. Because it's a house of horrors. The last time they won at Mackey, Keith Ackerman, Gary Harris was the starting backcourt. Just to put things in perspective, it was 2014. You've had MSU teams with more prolific offenses. They can't go into Mackey and win. So I almost look at that as a loss. It really, in my opinion, your season boils down to senior day. You got Northwestern. Now, there's no Ty Berry. That may help you some. But if you win the game against Northwestern, Harold, you put yourself maybe back into the category of trying to get out that 8-9 game. I think you're pretty much locked into the sixth seed in the Big Ten tournament. I was playing around with different things. You would have to beat Purdue to move out of the sixth seed, but I think they're going to be playing in that sixth seed game.
So I think so. Several things there. I'm not even thinking about Purdue in that game being competitive because, like you said, we've seen much better Michigan State teams go in there and not win. And now you're talking about a middling Michigan State team against a top three Purdue team. Just terrible matchups all across the board. I don't see that one happening. The lineup thing is really bothersome to me because we've talked about how bad the starting five is, but their best lineup is actually with Cooper in for Sissoko. And that is they're plus 42 in 86 minutes when that lineup's together in Big Ten play. And yet that lineup has played 53 less minutes than the starting lineup, which is worse. So the fact that you have a solution that may not be the solution you want, but it's a solution that's better, and you just refuse to go to it, is very frustrating. The fact that Sissoko and Cohen Carr, the only two players with a negative point differential on the whole team in Big Ten play, also speaks volumes. And you continually just put a guy out there who just isn't helping you on the other side. You know, that part is certainly frustrating. When it comes to the Big Ten tournament,
gets you the dunks that everybody loves to see. So I guess I get, you know, he's like that spark plug. He gets the dunk, team gets hyped up, and then you take him out. Go ahead.
Well, the problem, too, is you keep putting him out there as a three with a non-shooter at the four and a non-shooter at the five. So then now you have three non-shooters on the floor. Right. So even the way you're using Cohen Carr isn't a good thing. You know, he's at his best as a four. You know, if he's in there with Cooper or if they even go small, I think it could probably work. But the way they've used him, it just doesn't work for the Big Ten because you can't get out and run like you want to. Everybody knows your sets. Everybody knows all the stuff you're going to do. So his impact is limited because you're not out and running like you was in the Michigan game. That's one of the few times they've been actually able to get up and down. The spacing part with Sissoko is totally true, especially when it comes to A.J. Hogarth. I was looking some of this stuff up the other day. And it's funny, he actually is pretty solid finishing around the rim. He's actually really good shooting corner threes. He's actually made 11 of 16 corner threes, which I thought was very interesting. But he's 8 for 43 on every other three-pointer. So that means top of the key, wings, 8 for 43.
So corner three, money.
Yeah. Every other three, Nothing. And then to your point, if he's not getting to the rim, a lot of times he's settling for a mid-range jumper, you know, the elbow jumper, free throw line jumper, 7 for 41 on the season for mid-range jumpers. So if he can't get to the paint, it's almost a turnover.
Right.
But because Sissoko's in there clogging things up, everybody could just sit back and they know that if they keep AJ Hogarth from getting to the rim, that he might just force up a bad shot. And there you go.
And just for the record, for people watching and listening, I think I can speak for Harold. I have nothing against Sissoko.
Nothing at all.
Fine young man going through a little bit of, he's going through some tragedy right now.
Absolutely.
It's just talking about the play on the court. So this is not a Sissoko bash session. So people, you know, we're not sitting there trying to be unfair. Oh, but numbers are numbers. And your eyeballs are eyeballs. And you're seeing it's a hindrance of the team, especially, like I said, I did not understand why you went to that lineup late in the game as you're watching your lead slow down. Because even if you're like, okay, well, he brings you defensive rebound, so was Booker. Booker was blocking shots.
Yep.
When Ohio State coach comes out and says, yeah, they, you know, when Booker was in there, he caused problems for us. And remember this, Ohio State went into the Breslin Center, snapped a losing streak of, what, 17 games without their best player in battle. Didn't play.
Yep.
That's inexcusable. You can't let that happen. If you hope, and I probably if you said, well, you hold Ohio State to 60 points, oh, well, you beat them. No, you didn't. You lost at the buzzer. Coming back, I think this is probably the worst team that you have to play. But then again, maybe it's the best team because nobody has any expectations. I asked Tom in the press conference, you got a week off. Would you rather play somebody else or do you just want to take that week and roll into Mackey and play Purdue? They actually, kind of like the formula for the Big Ten, they actually have the formula to beat Purdue. When you look at Purdue's losses, Purdue loses when it's a bunch of shooters out there.
Right.
Okay, Zach, Edie, congratulations. You're going to score 25 to 30 points, but we're going to just keep shooting on the perimeter. We're going to hit our shots. And the question that really is, does Edie score his 25 points off of easy baskets, or do we foul him and put him on the free throw line and wear him down? That's normally the strategy, because let's face it, I don't know where Painter finds seven-footers, but I can't recall the last time Purdue didn't have a seven-footer.
Right.
I really can't. Like, it, as soon as
and they got up, another one on the bench.
Got another one sitting on the bench right now.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't understand it. But yeah, if you're going to Purdue, you have the formula to beat Purdue, and maybe it's, you know what, the pressure's off. Normally, because I did say this on the show, this is normally the time where Izzo gets that whole January, February Izzo, when everybody starts to doubt him and everybody starts to say, "Well, Tom, maybe you're losing a step." I sat in that press conference. He looked like a different man. And I've been covering this team since Izzo got there in 95. And I don't think he's having fun. Izzo loves the game of basketball. Never denied that. I don't think he likes his team. And I don't think he's having fun because he keeps talking about the stuff he can't do. He can't say, I used to be able to do this, but now I got to coddle him. I can't. He's not himself. And I equated it to, you're in a long relationship or you're in a marriage. And then all of a sudden you and your wife used to hang out and you party and you went to concerts. And then one day everything changed because your wife says, I'm not going to drink anymore. Your wife comes in and says, you know what? I found the Lord and I'm not going to do that. You didn't. You still love her, but your life has now changed because you can't do the same things that you once did. And you're not enjoying yourself. You're not enjoying that relationship as much as you used to enjoy it. So one of you would have to change. And I think that Tom, being 69, is not really trying to adapt and change, but he can't really do the things that he wants to do. My thing is this. If I was Tom, I'm going to go out being me. I'm going to go out doing it my way. And if I get canceled, I get canceled. But at least I'll know I didn't compromise anything. I didn't compromise myself.
No, I agree with that. It kind of feels a little bit like the 2010, 2011 team that had a whole lot of expectations to start the year.
Yeah.
Had some, I mean, obviously this team didn't have off court issues like the 2011 team did with Corey Lucius and Chris Allen getting kicked off, but it just seemed like he hated his team. Yeah. And like they barely got in the tournament. I think they got a 10 seed, got knocked out. And then the following year, you know, things got back to the way that they were. And he got some more recruits in. That was Draymond's senior year, and they got a one seed. But there was a leader that he can lean on. He could be the coach on the court, and it kind of went back to the way that he wants to coach. And just with this group, it seems like they haven't really had a leader since Cassius and Tillman left. And so, you know, I think Tyson Walker's a great player, just don't think he's a leader. AJ, right, doesn't want to be the leader. Malik Hall, nice guy, starting to play a lot better. As Steve Imbardo would say, getting that senioritis, he realizes the end is close, so he's turned it up, but still not a leader. You know, the fact that you've got, you know, Davis Smith multiple times saying at home, didn't look like we were ready to play. Didn't look like we were locked in, like having to deliver a fiery halftime speech against Michigan at home because you weren't playing well. It's like, right. It's Michigan. Is Izzo trying to go for 700? Like, why does Davis Smith need to fire you guys up against the rival team? You know, you're playing against Iowa at home. You're coming off this win streak. You got a chance to get a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. And he's saying that I could tell in warmups we weren't locked in. And, you know, comments coming out after the game of, yeah, we just weren't locked in the way we needed to start the game. And it's just like, how many times does this have to happen with pretty much a full upperclassman team that's, right, you know, in terms of the regular players? Like, how many times does this have to happen? So I can see why Izzo doesn't, if it is true that he doesn't like his team, I can see why.
Well, here's the thing, though. You've now hit a new milestone. And it's sad because they keep hitting new bad milestones. But This is going to be the first time that in a four-year stretch, Izzo had a team lose double-digit games. Lost 13. I think you lost 13 for the last 3 years. You're already at 11. So let's just say you lose to Purdue, that's 12. You're going to lose probably in the tournament and in the Big Ten tournament.
Yep.
You're going to have more losses. The last time he had this was right after the three Final Fours, but he was a younger guy. But it was the 2002, 2003, 2014. But then 2005, they go to the Final Four. They surprised everybody. I think that was the Allen Anderson-led team.
Yep.
All of a sudden, they went out and they beat Duke and they beat Kentucky in Austin, Texas, and they got that thing done. They're losing. Like, he's looking at this group, and for the last 4 years, he's just seen nothing but losses. Like, you're barely over 500 in the Big Ten over the last 4 years. You could see the frustration weighing on him, and I think he is befuddled and not knowing exactly what I can do to fix this. Now, I do think a lot of this bases off of the recruiting that he did from 2019 on, where he didn't go and get those the plan A guys. He got a lot of plan B guys. And I know nobody wants to be called a plan B guy, but let's just call it what it is. He didn't get the recruits that he wanted to bring in there. And now you're sitting here and, you know, you got some of the younger guys. And I do think that the leader, unfortunately, got shot. I think Jeremy Fear was all set to take this team over. I said by the time the Big Ten play rolled around, he was going to take AJ's spot.
Yep.
And he was going to be the starting point guard. He was going to be that leader. He was going to be that guy. He gets shot. He's not going to play. I'm assuming he's going to get redshirted, but let's face it, nobody who really uses a red shirt nowadays
right. In
basketball. If he's good, he's going to be gone in a couple of years. But that was going to be the guy. And you know, I look at the class coming in next year and they're good, but I don't see this prolific score that's going to really help get you to that next level. That, yeah, I mean, ever since I would say this is where I think Tom has to really go back to what he did to get this team above water. He had the portal and he went out there and he got Tyson Walker. He went out there and he got Joey Hauser. Those guys elevated him. He didn't want to do it this year. And I think if he does that again next year, that's going to be the detriment of him. Because at this point, it's almost like you're fighting to win. And, you know, are you trying to win a title or are you trying to prove a point? That would be the question that I would ask him.
No, I think that's fair, especially when it comes to the recruiting. If you look at the 2018 to 22 classes, there's what, 16 high school players in there. So I'm not going to count Hauser. I'm not going to count Walker. But from that group of 16 players, I mean, how many would you say, you know what, they had a really good career here? maybe Malik Hall, Aaron Henry, maybe Gabe Brown.
Right. I mean, they were good. They weren't great. They weren't memorable. They weren't like, oh my God, you know, you're not going to have an argument of should you be hanging their, you know, their jersey. And, you know, I really miss them. It's like, yeah, you're
no
right.
First you team, big team guys.
Yeah. First round picks. No, just good guys. But yeah, now you got Malik Hall. You know, I guess you'll have AJ. But once again, it's like, okay, well, you know, Fears was already here. He was going to take over. You're hoping that it was going to be Xavier Booker, but he didn't play this year. So, you don't know. Cohen Carr is great for dunks.
Right.
And the only thing I can hope for Cohen Carr is his career pattern is Jason Richardson. Jason Richardson, most people don't realize Richardson was on the 2000 National Championship team. He only played six, seven minutes a game. And he literally came in to dunk the ball. That was it. They ran the alley-oop play. He would dunk, and people would lose their mind. But then the next year, he became, you know, he then averaged, I think, 21 points a game, became the leading scorer, became a lottery pick. If you're Cohen Carr, every time I see him walking in the basketball building, I was like, how come you're not out shooting 500 jumpers? Why ain't you out trying to get better? I don't know if they have that guy. I mean, you're bringing in, ironically enough, Richardson's kid is coming in next year. I don't know if they got that score coming in, that guy that's going to be that prolific guy that I do think that maybe Izzo needs to go after, get a nice little NIL package together and go after one of the top transfers to really jumpstart this team. Very similar to what you saw Tennessee do with Rick Barnes. And now, you know, they're one of the better teams because they went out and got a transfer. And you did that with Tyson. And you take away Tyson, this team's not the same.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's interesting is it doesn't have to be a transfer from a Power 5 program. Like, we've seen, you know, Dalton Kennett for Tennessee came from Northern Colorado. Like, Tyson Walker was Northeastern. Like, we're seeing all of these Big Ten players, you know, Marcus Domask was Southern Illinois. Like Lance Jones was Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, you got Ben Cricke from Iowa, who killed Michigan State last week. He was a Valpo guy. Like, there are guys that are at the mid-major level who can come up and help you. Like, it doesn't just have to be, oh, well, it's a disgruntled guy at
You ain't got to get the 100 biggest in the world.
Right. Like, sure, if you had a guy like that that could help you, fine. It's an Alabama guy who – you know, feels like he should be playing more and he's not, and he helps you in your offense, fine. But there are a lot of players who can play all over the country, especially if you need them for just a year or two. You're already grown men. You're 21, 22 years old. You don't have to worry about the physicality aspect. And a lot of times they can step right in, and even if they're not leading your team in scoring, they're absolutely a rotation player that can help. And so it just feels like it shouldn't be this hard to find a guy that can help you fit when pretty much – everybody in the Big Ten did this year.
Nah, you're right. Before we wrap up, can you help Doug McDaniel? He's finally able to play on the road. Why? Your season's over. Why? I mean, are you hoping to make this long Big Ten tournament run? Because you're playing on Wednesday. Like, I don't understand the point of this. I would have just sat him for the rest of the year. I mean, I guess his punishment is up, but help me understand this. I don't get it.
I don't either. I don't get it at all. And again, I just think Juwan's like press conferences have been really weird post game. If you had Hart on the stat sheet,
we would have won.
Right. And it's like,
okay.
Yeah. I was talking with a buddy of mine. I was like, sounds like Monty Williams. Was like, are they just exchanging notes? Like, this is what I say after a loss. Maybe you should try this. Like, it's just been really, really weird. And, you know, I think Doug McDaniel's a really good player, but at this point, you got to win 5 games in 5 days. Olivier Conwa is out for the year, so that's probably not going to happen. Michigan hadn't guarded anybody all year. So even if McDaniel comes back, I can't see that changing anytime soon. So, yeah, maybe if you go to Minneapolis, you win a game. Okay, but – are you really going to win 5 in 5 days? I mean, we've never seen a team go from Wednesday to Saturday.
I don't even think if they ran the table for the rest of the season, I think they're pretty much locked into the 14th spot.
Yeah, because they got 14 losses. So, I mean, I think Ohio State would have to lose out. and then maybe they can get to 13, but they can't get above that.
Right. So yeah, just it was just one of those like, huh? Okay. Well, good luck with that. Don't right. really understand it, but sure, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get into more of that next week, man. But no, I appreciate you jumping on here, and I mean, you dropped some knowledge, some good numbers. Matter of fact, I may need you to text me or email me some of those numbers, man, so I could use them, because that was depressing. The starting lineups thing, that was, and AJ Hogarth's numbers, his shooting numbers. Yeah. This is why he's a senior research manager at the Big Ten Network, bro. This is why I have him on here. You see all them talking faces? He's the guy that gives them the numbers. So they go up there and they seem smart. This is actually a smart guy right here. Hill, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for listening and watching. Keep subscribing. We'll be back next week for another edition of the 5-Star Zone.